decided not to get me the car, but liar, and I'm here. Praise God. I'm glad y'all are here. Anybody remember what we spoke on last week? Kind of the talked about one word that we coming before Christmas. What was that word? Advent, right? Yep. Anybody know what Advent meant or remember?
Coming,
right? Coming of the Lord. Coming of the Lord. What else? That like an expectation, waiting, right? And like a preparation.
That's right.
For the coming of the Lord.
Yes, preparation for the celebration of the coming of the Lord.
Yes. Amen. That's what we've been in the last few weeks. Hey, Mark, as soon as you come in. So that's where we've been in and talked about last week. And we were in Isaiah. And I put them under here. You know, I got to studying a lot of different things over the last few weeks, but as you can see, but there was some things that popped up. You know that there's 354 prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ from the old to the new. Now, isn't that awesome? And now, how can that be denied that he was Jesus, the Son of God, when all those prophecies and all have already been fulfilled? And some are still yet to come. But, you know, there's a lot of people want to bring out different theories and theologies and all that. But, you know, I wrote them all down because I'm going to study them one by one this coming up year. But, I mean, this all of them right here, starting from Genesis all the way to Malachi, right? And so there were all those, like the first one on here is the seed of woman, virgin birth, Genesis 3:15. And the fulfillment was in Galatians 4:4-5, it says in Matthew 1:18. And so anyway, I found that interesting. So, you know, that is the advent, right? That's the prophecy is what? The advent of what? The coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And so in this season, you know, we have a lot of different, you know, sermons and everything else, and probably everybody's been in church and heard a lot of them. And I did another study, and it's on the Christmas stories, and like David in 2 Samuel, King David said, loved God and wanted to build a temple for God to live in, but God said to him, said he would establish an ever greater what?
Kingdom.
House. A kingdom that would last forever. God had great plans for David's family, didn't he? Even in David's dysfunction and all that David, you know, did and messed up, does that reflect with us? We all do, right?
That's right.
But yet, see, God has a plan and purpose, just like for everyone in this room, the same he did for David. And guess what? You are that house.
Yes.
You are that house. You are the church. We need to quit thinking about a church and a big old building. You need to start learning how to be the church.
Uh-huh.
And that is key. That is key in our life. And God had a great plans for David's family. And what was to come out of David's family, somebody?
The Messiah.
That's right. The lineage of Christ come through David, Solomon, and on down until Jesus was born. And so this is the advent. It's the preparation. It's the expectation and all these things, the prophecies and all this stuff. Brother Frank, I thought was going to be with us this morning. He must have had something come up, but I'm going to... you know, I'm not going to go into a lot of the prophecies, but if anybody interested in those things, because they're important, they're really important, because, you know, you can't deny prophecy that's been fulfilled.
Come on, that's right.
You know, 700 and some odd years, Isaiah, right, before Christ come, spoke these things. Wasn't it 700, Dr. D. Ortega? Somewhere around there.
And
But there, you know, and so you, it's undeniable. But this morning I wanted to, it's kind of a different message on the third week of Advent. We're going to be over in John 1. If you got your Bibles, you can turn over there. Thank you. I didn't hear many Bibles turning. Anybody need Bibles? We got them in front of the seats. Are we spoiled up here? Okay, that'll be fine too. I encourage you, man, you got to have a Bible. You won't always have computers break down. Don't be Kurt. We don't get internet. We're waiting on it to come back up there at the Good Shepherd. But, you know, you got to have this. What is this? The B-I-B-L-E. I love what Ray Bell used to say. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay, Bible. You know, you can tell mine's had some miles. Penny had it, and then... Then I finished, I'm on, she switched over, she it. Likes,
Joel likes the Word Bible, let's just not
well, I borrowed it, we're still one. Alright, I ain't still here. You can use it any time, but no, she's computer now, and that's okay. It's okay, I seen we were... Well, I ain't going to throw that church under the bus. But I saw some signs over the church last night. And I was like, I just don't know about that. It says now they're putting up where you go on the
Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi thing. And that's okay, I guess. Everybody, but people come here, what's the Wi-Fi key? It's like, got to have that. But, you know, what if this goes away?
Come on.
What do you have? The written word.
That's right.
The word. That's what we're going to talk about today, the word. And the word became flesh.
Amen.
And what?
Dwelt.
What does that mean?
Lived.
It was
present. What else?
Live with. Live in or live with something.
Among us.
Yes.
Praise God. So this morning let's talk a little bit about this, and we'll start off with one. We're going to read all the way through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what?
God.
He was in the beginning with God. Now, stop a minute there. This twists some people up a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit, because that could be confusing. Why could that be confusion? Very good. It says he was God, and he was in the beginning. He was with God. All right. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. There came a man sent from God whose name was what?
John.
He came as what? A witness. He was a witness to testify about the light. Next week I'm going to talk to you a little deeper about John and Jesus in the womb and that kind of stuff, okay? So come on back next week so that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightened every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, whom were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. and 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory of all the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for this Word. Let this Word be alive within every one of us. Lord, may it kindle our spirit this morning. Lord, those who might not know You in the way that You have desired for them this morning, may they come in communion with You. May they come in contact with You like never before. Lord, in submission and God in obedience. And Father, may we all, this time in this place, receive from You today. Speak through me and in spite of me, God. Use every word to transform, renew every mind. And God, help us as we go through these scriptures together. And God, give us revelation and understanding through Your word. In Jesus' name. Can you say with me, amen? A Christmas message of particular truths about Christ is what this really is. This morning. And there's three reasons I chose this passage this morning. First, the Lord spoke to me, and I spoke last week about it. And, you know, I was thinking about things that we needed. You know, it's not just me and Penny, but we, meaning all of us, because we're a big family here, and things we were needing. And where was I at? Oh, I was in the kitchen cooking or something. Oh no, I was whipping up some of that ice cream. Some snow cream.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of that stuff coming from heaven. And I was thinking about that. I thought about manna and all this stuff, but I was thinking about what comes from the Lord and all this. And you know, God can speak to you just like that if He wants to. And sometimes you're like, "Where are You, Lord? I ain't heard from You in forever." And not only are we like that, the prophets went through that also,
right,
didn't they? And so, but I was, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, and like I shared last week again, "Everything you've been waiting on," He said, "I've already done it."
Mm-hmm.
And then He said, "Now I'm waiting on you to believe and receive it."
Mm-hmm. Oh,
amen. I'll say that again. Everything, not just some,
mm-hmm,
everything. And immediately I started thinking about where I've been studying, where, you know, this scripture and this. And then you got to go back to in the beginning. Turn with me to Genesis 1. You got your Bibles or the Bible woman over there? Genesis 1. And I'm not going to go through all this, but for lack of time, but first thing out of the Bible. In the beginning, God created, right? We know heaven and earth. Then He said in 3, "Let there be light." And God said, saw it was good, right? And then in 6, then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst." And I'm going to skip through because I want you to see the points in this. In 7, "And God made the expanse. And in 8, he said, and God called the expanse heaven. In 9, he said, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered. And in 10, he said, and God called the dry land earth. In 11, he said, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetables and all these things. And in 12, he said, and the earth brought forth the vegetables and all these things. God saw it was good again. And there was evening. In the morning, that was the third day. Then, 14, then God said, let there be light. If you look at a pattern here, can you see the pattern? In 20, then God said, 21, God created. 22, God blessed. 24, then God said. In all this, you continue on down, and then in 26, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. Again, 27, God created man. In 28, he blessed man. In 29, God said again. 31, God saw all he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, there was a morning, the sixth day. So, in 2, the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. And then what did God do? He blessed the seventh day. And everything you see here, what was God doing?
Dead. He was. And then he created, and then he blessed.
That's right.
He never seen.
This is why the Word is so important. The Word is what?
What
it's spoken. Mm-hmm. It's what it said. Now, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God said. See, God created and spoke everything into existence that was not already with him. You ever thought of that? What was with him before this?
Jesus,
the Word. Very good. And the Word was?
God.
You're getting it. He spoke it. He created. He spoke it in existence and everything he... That was that in those in that pattern in that days of creation, it's spoken. He spoke it. There's something about the Word. There's something about the Word and power within that Word. He spoke it into existence. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we go on through here, and realize this Word we're talking about today. It's a true meaning of Christmas. It really is. And look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What does that mean? What does that mean, somebody? To you.
The Word was in Jesus. Jesus was the Word in flesh.
What was he before?
Spirit?
The Word become alive.
Ah.
The Word became flesh.
It became alive, that way where we could see it and know it.
Exactly. So there was a creation of what? Just like, huh?
A body.
A body. Just like in the creation of man. And there has to be a fulfillment of everything because God is outside of our thinking. You've got to understand this. He is way beyond our abilities. And when he said, in our likeness, who's he talking about? What we know and what we believe is the Trinity, right? Mm-hmm. Father, Son, both at this time are Spirit. Holy Spirit. Right? Hang with me. Going somewhere. So, God has come into the world, born a virgin in the person of Jesus Christ. God himself. Now, this twists a lot of people up in religion and all over the place, does it not? How that three can be one and all this stuff. But somebody give me an example, something simple, how three can be one.
That's us. Body, mind, spirit, soul, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What else?
I've seen it in two examples, or actually three examples, but the one I like the best is actual sunlight. You have the sun, okay, which is the source of light. Then you have the light itself, which allows you to see. And then you have the heat, which you actually feel from the sunlight.
Yes.
Now, you can't have one of the three
without the other.
One of the three.
Yes.
Sunlight has to have the sun, the light,
yes,
and the heat. And it's the same way also with water. It can have three different forms.
Right.
You can have liquid, gas, and ice, but it's the same DNA.
Come on.
It's the same.
Absolutely.
It is three in one.
What is an egg, Eric? Eric, sir. He's our new farmer. What's an egg? yeah. But what's the egg itself, the substance of that egg? What's it got in it?
A shell, yolk, and
membrane. A shell? A what?
Yolk. And the white. Membrane, yes.
So, three in one.
That's right.
So, the mystery is not really that complicated when you get to really thinking about it on layman's term. It is possible. It is a possibility. So I wanted to bring that out. So, and Penny brought up light. Look at verse 9 in what we just read, going back to John. It says, there was the true light, which coming into the world does what? Enlightens every man. What does that mean?
Help and drive.
Absolutely. What else?
Makes you accountable.
Makes you accountable? What does the light do?
Inspire.
Reveals.
Teaches.
What else?
Disperses darkness.
Yes,
yeah.
It does. Disperses darknesses. It makes the dark places what? Light up. And this world is what?
Dark.
It's dark. It's dark. That's why this is so important, to know what the Word really is and the light, what the light really is. Because without it, it's all darkness. A phone, just like in the beginning. Y'all getting this? In the beginning, God had to speak life into everything. He had to speak it into existence. He had to speak it, and he had to bless it. And as he saw it was good, he continued in the creation, and he continued to speak that word. Come on, God didn't have to, but he did. Because, can I tell you, there is power in the Word.
Yes.
There is power in the Word. And there is power in everyone in this room in the Word. It's either what it says in the Bible. It can be, we speak what?
Life and death. Curses.
Curses and life and death. Exactly. One thing that destroys ministries and things, one of the number one thing is what?
Gossip.
The spoken word. And if the spoken word isn't of the word of the living God, if it isn't this word like we're talking about here, guess what? It's of the evil one. It's light or darkness. Can I preach a little bit? That's what we got to understand. You want to see why the churches are failing? You look right there. You look right there and you see why the church is failing. Nobody understands the simplicity about the word and who the word is. Next reason I've chosen the text is because it's so full of particulars, truths about the Lord and Jesus as our Savior, and the particulars of the our death. Oh, I got my light shining crazy right here. Oh, there we go. desperately important to know and embrace about the Lord, just as John did and wrote about it in these scriptures. John was close with the Lord. He was close from the beginning, and I'm going to talk about that next week, all the way into his mother's womb. Who was his mother?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. You got Mary and Elizabeth. That's the story next week. So, let's begin with these five truths real quick. The Word made flesh in these passages. The name of the Word made flesh on earth is what?
Jesus
Christ. Verse 17. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came where?
Through Jesus
Christ. Somebody explain to us what that means. Go ahead.
The law, before Jesus came, man sinned in the garden, right? He had perfect communion with God. And he lived by every word that God said. God spoke it. Adam and Eve did it. They believed it, and they lived by faith. But when they decided they wanted to walk away from God and do things themselves apart from God, they broke that relationship. They stopped living by faith. And so, not right then and there, but however many years later, 400 years later, or wherever it was later, God said, you know what? You can't live righteously. You're not living by faith. So I'm going to create a set of laws to help you. They're kind of like the bumpers. You know when you go bowling and they blow up those bumpers along the gutters?
That's good.
You know? That's what the law is. It can't make you get a strike. It can't make you do anything right. But it stops you from falling in the gutters. Okay? It's a set of boundaries. And it says, this is what I expect from you. But the law from the very beginning was always meant to point out the fact that there's no way on earth that you can keep this law and that you need a relationship with me. You need to live by faith. So it says that God brought the law. The law was given through Moses to keep you out of the gutters.
Yes.
But it was never meant to save you because there would be a time when Jesus would come and he would give grace, the divine supernatural enablement for you to be able to obey what God asks you to do, which is to live by faith.
Yes.
So only the law is only for people who do not live by faith. Because when you live by faith, you automatically do what the law requires. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay.
Which is death, right? We're born into sin.
Yeah.
We have a dead spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what it talks about when it talks about the death. The law brought death and all that. So that's another sermon. And Jesus was the name Joseph was told to give the child by the angel of the Lord because it means what? Savior. That's right. Absolutely. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of what? The Holy Spirit. There's another miracle. How's that? Right? People can't wrap their head around that. The mystery. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from what? Their sin. Absolutely. Christ was the title that referred to the long-awaited King of the Jews, who had give victory to the people and bear the government of the world on his shoulders, it said. When Andrew, Peter's brother, told him that he had met Jesus, y'all remember when Jesus come on the scene and Andrew, Peter's brother, he said in John 1:41, "We have found what? The Messiah." And John added, "which means Christ." What does Christ mean? Savior. That's right. So the people are speaking in these verses, or the person who we are speaking of in the verses is known in the Bible and throughout the world as Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know you could go anywhere already, you know, that says in the end, and I don't want to get too far off of this, God, Jesus won't return until what?
Everyone is heard.
Right. The truth, the gospel.
All them indigenous tribes in the Amazon.
It's all being fulfilled these days all over. Technology, all these things that is happening. And so that's a sign that we keep an eye on. But the fact is, you know, I forgot where I was going with this. But the whole thing is that we got to understand that He is the Savior of the world. But He told His disciples before He went to the cross, it's expedient that what?
He leave.
I go to the Father, so what?
We send another,
and the Holy Spirit can come. Why? Because Jesus was in a little area, right, in Galilee, in Jerusalem, and all the little places there. And He was called for what?
To save the Jews.
Come on.
That's right.
Save His person. God's chosen people.
That's right.
Now, don't get offended if you're not a Jew this morning, because He made the way still for the Gentiles.
Amen.
Also.
That's right.
God's love is outside of the box of all of it. So we got to understand that. So the Word made flesh. Okay, I missed something. And each name He carries, Jesus. Last week, anybody know the one I focused on last week in Isaiah?
Wonderful Counselor.
What was the next one in that one? 7.
Mighty God.
What else? There was one more.
Prince of Peace.
All these names, they mean something. They have tremendous meaning behind them. And you'll find there's over 200, I think, names all throughout the Bible. If you do a study, I think it's like that, of Jesus. You know, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's the wonderful. His name was called what? Emmanuel. All God with us. And we'll hear that throughout the Christmas. So all these things are tremendous meaning. He is Savior. He is Lord. Right? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Word made flesh existed as God, and with God before He was born as a man on the earth. You ever thought of that? Verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." At that time, what was it? One, right? They were one. Don't let this go over your head, and I don't want it to, but you see, just like we're talking about 3 and 1 here, that's what John is explaining in the way, and I love this. Let me flip over here in my Bible in John again. Anybody like, who's their favorite, who's you guys' favorite gospel you're writing? Anybody?
Luke.
Okay. I love Luke. Anybody else?
John.
Huh? John's yours? Okay.
Yeah, John's
mine. John? Matthew has a lot of... What does Matthew have in a lot of it?
Serious stuff in it. They're all good.
But the Gospel of John, it basically it stresses the deity of Jesus.
That's right.
And in simplicity, in simple forms, he breaks it down so simple. It begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God and become flesh and dwelt among us. And the Gospel, what I love at the end of it, also concluded with the author's purpose expressed. I love this because he said, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. He said, but these have been written that you may believe in what? That Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. I love that. And so, knowing all that, the account of Jesus' life is very different from the other Gospels here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It offers the things which Jesus said more than the things which He did. If you look at it, it's a lot what he said. That's why he starts out with the Word.
Right.
The Word. What is said? The power of the spoken Word. And how Jesus was the Word. And so that was really important to know. That's really important to know. So, sometimes to escape the truth in the secular world, this doesn't make any sense, does it? In all the humanistic thoughts, their comments are, you can't have it both ways. I'm sure Dr. D'Ortega, you've heard that. You can't have it both ways. Why not? Either he was God, or he was with God, is what they're saying. Which one is it? Hardest thing in the world for scientists or really intelligent men to grab hold of simplicities like that, isn't it, sometimes?
Now, with quantum physics, there are categories of thought that something can be in one state and then goes to another.
Yeah.
So they're getting there.
They're getting there, right? Hadn't took them but what, 2017 years? So in the secular world, this doesn't make any sense a lot of times. But sometimes to escape the truth of these two sentences, sometimes they change the translation to God to little God, little g. Anybody know who that is, right?
The word was a God. That's who the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
They stick the word A in there. In Roman.
Which, what does that do?
It actually distorts the word, and so you end up with a different understanding.
It's a polytheistic. It's multiple gods.
Right.
Yes. It makes it multiple gods. And so you cannot put the little g in there. He is the big G. He is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, just like John says. So what the Scriptures here in John verse 1 is teaching us is that the one we know or read about here is Jesus Christ before He was made flesh. Before He was made flesh, He was God, and that the Father was also God. And there are two persons and one God. And this is part of the truth which we know as the Trinity. So this is why we pray to the Father, and we pray in what?
In the Son's name.
In Jesus' name. In the Son's name. This is why we worship Jesus and say, with Thomas in John 20:28, my Lord and my God, he said. He's my Lord and He's my God. And so we got to understand the Word made flesh existed as God and was God. Before he became flesh, John called him the Word. And can I tell you today, John, or the Bible writer of Genesis, also did not call Jesus the deed. Right? In the beginning was the deed, and the deed was with God, and the deed was God.
That's right.
Or the thought. In the beginning was the thought.
That's good.
And the thought was, or the feeling. In the beginning was the feeling. What it was what it was.
The Word.
The Word. And there's no other word. Without the Word, you cannot have any of the... You've got to have... The problem with all three of these, especially feelings, right? Thoughts and deeds always have to be explained with what?
Words.
Words.
It's how you communicate.
That's how we communicate.
Right.
And that's how God communicated. How God communicated what? Without words, they don't carry any clear conception or intention or meaning. They're meaningless. Amen?
Amen.
All that is not good was created through the Word. John 1:3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. There are at least two reasons John said this about the Word here. One is that the underscores that he is God. We think immediately of Creator. God is the origin, the explanation, meaning he is God and he is not created. You thought about that? That's hard to grab hold to sometimes, too. The Creator wasn't created.
He just always has
been. I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only thing that exists that has never been created back to beginning in Genesis. He's Spirit. He's God. He's Spirit. He's way outside of anyone's thoughts. The other reason comes out of verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. I believe the point here John was talking about in describing the unrighteousness of people who are living in guilt and shame and are blinded by all the world problems and the evil of the world, who either turned their back on the Lord Jesus or they desired everything but the Lord Jesus. I believe that's what John's talking about here. So we have to talk about the Word made flesh. One, he is Jesus Christ, Savior and anointed King. Number two, he is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Three, he is Word, God in communication, God in expressing himself. He is the Creator of all things. Next, the Word made flesh has life in himself, and that life becomes the light of every man and woman and child. It becomes the light. 1 John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all men. All life originated in the Word. That's obvious because, as we have seen already, he's the Creator of all things. But here we need to focus on the spiritual life. We got to look at the spiritual life. In other words, there's two overwhelming problems humanity faces. We are spiritually dead, and therefore we are spiritually blind.
That's right.
Everyone born into it.
Right.
John is saying here that Jesus is one and only way. And the answer to both of these problems, John 5:21 says, the Son gives life to whom he will. In other words, he does for us spiritually what he did for Lazarus. You remember the story of Lazarus when he stood before Lazarus' tomb, and what did he say? to the dead man, Lazarus, come forth. You see, he does that to everyone. Everyone who is willing to believe. He says, Kurt, come forth. Come out of the dead.
Yes.
Come into the life. Come into the light so that you won't be spiritually blind no longer. And he gives us that opportunity because he is the light. In two ways there enables us when we're dead. People are given life. They see. When people are given life, they see.
That's right.
Or, to change the image, when you're born, what do? You see.
That's right.
The baby opens its eyes, doesn't it?
Yep. And
you have to get spanked. Then you see.
That's right.
That baby. Can you think of a story of Jesus and John on over two chapters? A man named Nicodemus.
That's right.
You know that? John 3:3 told him, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot what?
See.
He can't see. Don't skip. You can't see. You can't understand it. You're spiritually blind, Nicodemus. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Nicodemus, who was he? He was a teacher of the law. Moses is law. He was a teacher. But yet he's like, whoa, wait a minute now. You're saying, you mean somebody got to go back into their mother's womb?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then be born again?
How do you do that?
Why? Why couldn't he understand? Because he's spiritually dead. Doesn't matter how much you know about the law. It doesn't even matter how much you read this book. It doesn't matter. This would just be nothing more than a book.
That's right.
If it doesn't become alive, how?
Right.
By the Spirit. You have to be born again. He goes on down. He tells him a man or woman has to be born of water and Spirit and the Spirit to be in the kingdom of God. Now, what is that water?
Baptism?
No.
No, it's
the water. He's talking, what did Nicodemus just say?
Right.
He's talking about a mother's womb.
Right.
What are we born into?
Right.
Water.
We're in a water sack.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The mother. You got to be born first of all by your mother.
That's right.
Out of the water, broken. Then you got to be born by the Spirit. Come on, get this. This is important. There's so many people out there that don't understand what it means to be born again.
Right.
The churches are full. Nicodemus.
Uh-huh.
Look at it right there. He goes on, he talks about, well, the birds don't want to worry about, you know, he goes in, Jesus, he tells it like it is. And I won't go there, but so, first Jesus gives life. Then he gives light. He becomes light, which is the ability to see spiritual reality. You become to see spiritual reality. And Paul, I'm closing here. Paul says this, you have to be born, and he uses a baby as an analogy, right? And a baby has to do what? Has to be born in the water. Then what happens?
Has to be fed.
And what does he got to be fed?
Milk.
Paul says you got to start with the milk.
Yeah.
The simplicity of the gospel, whatever it is, then you get into the meat. It's the same thing. You go deeper. You get spiritually aware. God becomes real to you. The Word becomes flesh. It dwells among you. It becomes alive inside of you. He empowers you through the power of the Spirit. That dunamis power of the book of Acts, it said, you've got to have the power. There's a lot of powerless Christians out there, guys and gals. They're walking around and they're just woe with me, and they don't understand that God, just like He told me, I've already provided. He gave that to us to be empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples to go and what? Wait. Go into the upper room and wait and seek and pray and continue to do that. Then what did he promise? He spoke to them.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Close this up. So, the other way that the life Jesus relates to the light is not that it enables you to see, but that Jesus himself is the light that is seen. We'll say that again. I want you to get that. The other way that the life Jesus relates to the light is not that it enables you to see, but that Jesus himself is the light that is seen.
In you.
Absolutely. In you. Through you. Learning who you are in Christ. And Christ in you is key. Your reflection of Christ on the work front. Your reflections of Christ for the lost and dying world out there that needs to get and experience what you have. It's all great. We can shout and holler and do everything we want to in here, but there's a world out there that needs to hear. There is life, and there is an eternal life that you can have because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, they know that scripture, just like Nicodemus knew the law. Everybody, I mean, you talk to people everywhere, they know John 3:16, don't they?
Right.
But do they know John 3:16? Do they know who the Word is? And I want to challenge you right now, summing this up in the five truths here. He is Jesus Christ after he is made flesh, Savior of God, the anointed King of all. He is God. He was with God, and he was God. He was called the Word, God in communication, God expressing himself, and he is the creator of all things, and were made through him, but he himself was not made.
Amen.
He's the life and the light, the living power to see in that all-satisfying splendor to be seen. Finally, then, there's two responses today I want you to ask yourself. Do I know him that way? Do I know him that way? And have I received him? Verse 10 and 11 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. It's not enough just to know him. It says in the Bible, even the demons believe and tremble. I tell you what, they ain't enough of the fear of the Lord in the body of believers of what it means to know him in that intimacy, in that what he is today. And the other response, in 12 and 13 it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So, back to where we started. If that word he gave me, I'm giving you, if he's provided everything for you and I, what's he waiting on? What are we waiting on? What are we putting in the way of serving him and knowing him and reflecting him so that the world sees us this holiday season? The hustle and bustle of Christmas drives me nuts. Honestly, it does. I don't enjoy it. I enjoy the light. Oh, that'd preach. I enjoy the lights. We were coming home last night at church. Woo, we've seen some lights. Those are beautiful. I wouldn't want to put them up. I wouldn't want to pay the bills.
Right.
Some of them. But We have made Christmas so off the board, off the chart, way the opposite of what it's really about, haven't we? Don't get me wrong. I'm not the Grinch and, you know, Scrooge or none of that. Thank God. I love giving those kids presents. That's seen their life. But we are spoiled. And we have spoiled our children. You know, let's be honest. Now, when the ones that need, it's different. It's way different. What can we do? My word to you today is, what are you going to do in 2018? I believe there's some men and women in here God's going to use mightily for the kingdom. And if you grab a hold of what we're talking about, He becomes flesh in you. That word, he becomes alive for you in 2018. You begin to move forward and you're progressing in Him and Him in you. You're going to have so many victories. God's going to show up and show out. I believe that. And I believe that you're going to see this prophecy He gave me. Everything is provided for you, your family, your ministries, whatever it is, your jobs. But we got to have faith. We got to move on forward. He says, I'm waiting on you, He said. We're running out of time, folks. There's a time and a season for everything, and we're running out of that seasonal time to share the good news, to be a part of something life-changing in people's lives, to show a little baby girl how much Jesus loves her, to have a little baby boy come up and set you out and ask, what is the Holy Ghost? Happened to yesterday, right? Eric, right? What is the Holy Ghost? I don't use ghost a lot because for one reason that little boy was scared. A little bit of that Holy Ghost thing. And then I explained to him, it's spirit. Spirit. Oh, what's that? They're waiting.
Yeah, they're
waiting. We had the conversation of the age. How are you now?
24.
You see this, don't you? That age right now, they don't want anything to do with church a lot. They got all this other stuff going on. We were talking about this yesterday, wasn't we? There's an eight. I can't remember what it's called. What's your?
The millennials.
Millennials, is it?
That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah. The millennials, it said, I read these articles, are leading the church in record numbers.
Yeah, they're disenchanted.
Yeah, they're disenchanted, all right.
Yeah.
By what they've seen.
That's right.
Come on. By what they've seen, by what they've heard.
Right.
All the spoken word is not, it's a lot more death than it is life. 2018 is going to be awesome. How many believe that?
Amen.
Come on, it is. Quentin, it's awesome. 2018, man, you're going to run for 1,000 yards. I don't know. Believe. Believe and receive what the Lord said. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for these men and women that are here today to just trust you and obey. Listen and obey. That's our heart. Help us, Father. We humbly ask. We seek you. And we ask, Father, we can't do this without you. I believe, God, there's so much on the horizon for this ministry and everyone here and their jobs and Lord, what you're about to do in their life and their families and Lord, even though there's trials going on within the families, there's testimony after testimony, things of attack and things of, some of it we give Satan too much credit for, but in the name of Jesus, we come against all those things and we believe together and we thank you, God, today that, Lord, we look for the future of eternal life and what, God, we can do right now for your kingdom and your purpose. Not our will be done, but your will be done. Now, Lord, meet every need in this house. God bless those who sow their seed today, Lord, into this ministry so that we can be a light to shine out into the world in everything we do, Lord. This building is this building that we want to do, but Lord, we ain't going to do it without you, that's for sure. I'm not going into debt, and you know that. I said it, Lord, so you're going to provide it. I believe that. I believe you're going to provide for everyone in this room and their faith and their tithes, their offering, their giving. Lord, as they give, I know you're going to bless them when they grab hold of what it means to even sow beyond what they know that they, in the natural, just like we talked about today, it doesn't seem like a reality, but Lord, we know we can't outgive you. You gave it all, yourself. You give yourself for us in the form of man in Jesus Christ. And we exalt you, we thank you, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray and believe all this. And all God's children said with me, amen. 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 All right. God's good. Love on somebody.